Let's discuss a topic. We once spoke about this, but let's review this in light of the fact that this week we begin the Gimel Haftorahs de Paranusa. For the next 10 weeks, we're going to read a special collection of Haftorahs after Kriyas HaTorah. And they're broken up into two groups, 3 and 7. The first three, what's called the Haftorah of Paranus. The first one we read today, this Shabbos, is from Yirmiyah, the beginning of Yirmiyah, Divrei Yirmiyah ben Chilkiyahu. And next Shabbos, we read from Yeshayah, and it begins from Yirmiyah. Shinu Dvar Hashem from Yirmiyah, I'm sorry, from Yirmiyah. And then the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av is Chazoin Yeshayahu ben Amos. Okay, so we have over here 3 Haftaros. Each of the 3 Haftaros is predicting gloom and doom. Not all gloom and doom. There's words of Nechama at the end. Zecharti l'chesed. This week's Haftar we read, Zecharti l'chesed, Nurayich, Avas, Kilosayich, Lechtech, Rai, Bamidbar. You don't have all pure gloom and doom. There's always going to be some words of Nechama. But basically, the theme of the next 3 weeks is Puranos. Is that if we do not do Teshuvah, Yeshayah is telling Yirmiyah, and then Yeshayah is telling Klal Yisrael that you're going to have to bear the consequences of your sins, and is going, he alludes to the fact that it's going to be a Chorban. After the 3 weeks, the Gimel de Paranusa, we then go into Shabbos Nachamu, and we have Zayin Dinechama, Zayin Dinechemta, for a grand total of 10. Now, I didn't prepare this, but I do know that some of the commentators, they tell us that the number 10 is very significant. 3, 7, by the Makos, there is also 10 Makos. They're also divided to some degree, 7 and 3. I'm not familiar with this. I saw that Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a lot of Torah, a lot of Chidushim explaining the significance of why exactly it's 10. 10 Haftaros relating to the Churban, why it's broken into 3 and 7, and he compares them to the 10 Sefirois, and he gets very, very deep into this singing, so obviously there is a lot to talk about. I just want to go through a little, from a different angle. I want to tell you a very, very big Chiddush, and I also want to tell you some ideas from Rav Soloveitchik, and just talk in general a little about the Haftarah in general. I was using a different sefer to prepare, and then I realized it wasn't really what I wanted to talk about. I took out the computer and went on to Oitzra Chochma and tried to see if I can find anything. And I did. I found some interesting things about the Haftarah, which I didn't really have that much chance to digest. But let me just tell you a little bit what I came across. First of all, what is the meaning of the word Haftarah? It's a very hard word to translate. So there are many translations. One translation means it's dessert. Ein maftirin achar ha-pesach afikoymen. Maftir, ein, the same expression. We don't eat, we're not maftir. Achar ha-pesach, another dessert. Afikoymen means dessert. Because the korban pesach is the dessert. The korban pesach is, the tam of the korban pesach is what must remain in our mouth when the Seder is over. Today we use afikoymen, we use matzah today to serve as the place of the Korban Pesach, and that is the dessert. That's why we call it the afikoymen. But we see over here the word maftirin. Maftirin means the very, very end, and it's used. But the point we want to make is that the word maftirin, it's not a word that stands alone. It's used in connection with dessert. Dessert is delicious. Dessert is something which you relish. And if you go back to the source, to this sefer, I don't even know the name of the sefer, I don't have time to go through all the pratim, all the details of all this to say, but if you go back to the time, early times, in the history of Klal Yisrael, the words of the Nevi'im were precious, were chaviv. Because Chazal say that even when the Navi would give Musa to Klal Yisrael, they would always conclude their words with comfort. Divrei Nechama, Divrei Shevach, and they knew how to make the people feel good. And people cherished. I know we learned in Sefer Yirmiyah, they tortured him, threw him into a jail, and they did all these terrible things to him, and in Cheskel also. But at a later point in time, people began to appreciate the Nevi'im, and it was Chaviv. Therefore, we use the word Maftir, in reference to the reading of the Haftarah to express the chavivos, it's precious. The preciousness of listening to the words of the Navi, in the words of the Navi, it's relevant, it's alive, it's telling us what's happening today in our day and age, how we could apply what we've read in the Torah, and we can extrapolate, and we can extrapolate to current events. That's one translation. Another translation of Maftim comes from the word Peter Rechem, Peter. Maftir has the same shorish as Peter, Petes Resh, which means to open up. And what this means is, now you can talk. Kriya Satoru and Tarma Chazal, they also, there's a very, very great hakpada that you're not allowed to talk. When the Sefer Torah is taken out from the Aron HaKodesh, the Shechin is present, and you're not allowed to talk. It says in regard to the Kriya Satoru that took place during the time of Ezra, the people stood. And there Rashi says it means they were silent. When we finish the laning of the seven aliyahs of the Torah, and now we begin to lane the maftir, the Navi, it's called maftir, Miloshin Peter, now you can open up your mouth. Now you can, it doesn't mean literally you can talk, because it's not respectful, you should be able to talk during the time of the reading of the Haftarah, but now it means now the moment where the absolute prohibition and restriction of opening up your mouth is concluded, because the Sefer Torah was open, and when the Sefer Torah is open, we should be in a state of pachat. Now that we have finished with the reading of the Torah, and we're reading the Navi, you can relax. Relax. And you can even chop a word in here and there before they start the Haftarah, before here and after the restrictions have been lifted. That is another translation of the word maftir. Simply, the word maftir means it's the conclusion, like it's the end, gemar, it's like a seal. Okay, that really ties into to the other idea. Okay, let me see if there's another idea. That's pretty much it with the translation of the word. Okay, now, what was the first time Haftar was ever read? Historically speaking, which relates to the 9 days. The very first time someone read from the words of the Navi, it was Eicha. Eicha is not never a maftir, because Eicha is the Megillah. It's the Chomesh Megillahs. We only lane Chomesh Megillahs is part, let's say it's part of Ksuvim. We never lane Shabbos morning from Ksuvim. We only lane from the Nevi'im. But Eicha are the words of the Navi of Yirmiyah. He was given these words by Hashem to present these words to the Melech, to Yehoyakim. Who was the one that transcribed the words? His secretary, Baruch ben Neriah. And it says in Sefer Yirmiyah, Baruch ben Neriah presented the Megillah to Yehoyakim, and they sat down and they read it. Or before they gave it to the king, it says first that Baruch ben Neriah, he read the words to the people that were gathered in the chotzer of the Beis HaMikdash. So think about it. This is the first historical record of the words of the Navi being transcribed onto parchment with ink, and people sitting around, one person reading it, and the community is listening to it. Isn't it an amazing insight? That's what it says. When it comes down, why were they? Because that's another idea. We'll come down in one moment. But let's first take note of this historical fact. This is something which you're not going to see elsewhere. This is amazing that I came across over here on Eretz HaChochma. Is the first. What are we doing? What are we doing every Shabbos? There's a record. The Nevi'im, they spoke. Most of them did not write down their words. Their words were written down by others. They were memorized. And they were recorded by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, by others who were put in writing, and we cherish their words, and we read from their words Shabbos, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov. When was the first time such an event happened? Now, reading the Torah happens all the time in the Torah. The Kohen Gadol reads the Torah on Yom HaKippurim. Okay, the Melech reads the Torah at Hakel. Okay, there are Psukim in Ezra and Nehemiah. They went and they gathered the entire Klal Yisrael in the time of the Bayis Sheni, and they read the Torah. Okay, we have references going way, way back to the Klal Yisrael coming together to read the words of the Torah. But show me somewhere where people came together to read the words of the prophet, of the Navi. first time that happened is in reference to Megillas Eicha. That means Megillas Eicha is an incredible insight. Megillas Eicha is really the shoresh. Eicha is the shoresh of every Haftarah we ever read, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov. Isn't that amazing? You would think that a Shabbos, Yom Tov, you want to read about having happy events. Shabbos is a happy, Shabbos is a happy day. Yom Tov is a happy day. We're reading the Haftarah. The shoresh of reading Haftarah is rooted in the Navi, Yirmiyah, predicting the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Eicha Yashua Badot, and Baruch Ben Neriah is listening, and he's writing down what he said, and then he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and he gathers the people, and they all sit down, and he reads for them, Eicha. He's reading to them the words of the Navi. And then later they go to the Melech, and they read the same words, and the Melech takes and he puts it in the fire. He burns Sefer Eicha.
When did they start reading Rus by Shavuos?
That's much later. Okay, that's a whole different story. That's probably only last few. I don't know. That's much, much later.
Maybe Shlomo Melech read
this. But this is recorded in Nevi'im. This event is recorded in Sefer Yirmiyah. It's an amazing thing. Every time we read from the words of the Navi that were transcribed by someone to the Tzibur, we are connecting ourselves to that first moment when the Tzibur went and they listened to the words. The first Baal Kriya for the Navi is Baruch Ben Eriya. And in some shuls, they have a special Baal Kriya, they have Klaf, and they have a special Baal Kriya for the Navi. Because the regular Baal Kriya doesn't want to do it.
Didn't prepare.
And he doesn't want to prepare. He doesn't have time. He works full time.
We'll tell you in one moment.
So some shuls, I know someone actually, that was his thing. He just did the Haftarah. He was a mamash, a mumche. Yeah. Usually it's the Baal Kriya. It's usually the Baal Kriya. But sometimes you have a shul. I've seen this thing where the Baal Kriya, for whatever reason, he just doesn't want to do it. He just doesn't have time. Like, he knows the whole, he's been learning his whole life. He knows for many, many years. He knows. Oh, you can stop, you can wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning and he can lean through the whole Torah without making one mistake. Oh, Yosky. So the people but they say, okay, guess what? Someone donated to the shul of Yeshaya. They donated a Yeshaya to the shul. So guess what? You're going to lay this. Listen, I got 10 kids. I work from 8 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. My wife is driving me crazy. I don't got time to prepare. I'm sorry. I have other shibudim. I don't have time for this. I got to do homework with my kids. I got to go make parnasa. Okay, so they tell someone else in the shul. So once I'm learning the Haftarah, I also want to learn the parasha. No. He has a chazaka to learn the parasha. You can just learn that. This is something which happens in many shuls. So the first one to ever learn the Haftarah was Baruch Ben Eriya. Baruch Ben Eri was the one who leaned for Klal Yisrael, says the Sefer Yirmiyah. He leaned for Klal Yisrael the words of Eicha, which are the words of the Navi. We wouldn't do it today because it's not exactly the same because we have put it in Kisuvim, but Eicha is clearly Nevuah. It's the words of Nevuah. It's been put in writing, and Baruch Ben Eri is reading to the Tzibur. So we're connecting us deep with that name and mail that comes out that when you lean the Haftorah, Now I'm jumping to Rav Soloveitchik now. Let's now switch over to a different world. Rav Soloveitchik, he takes note of the following, makes the following observation. Kinois Eicha we lay at night. And by day, we don't lay in Eicha. Today, there's a new Meshuggah, there's a new fad out there where people are beginning to lay in Eicha by day. They lay in Eicha in the morning also. So he was way ahead of his time, Rav Soloveitchik. Going back probably 40, 50 years, and all this is in the book by J.J. Schachter. By J.J. Schachter, he wrote up, he took all of the recordings of Rav Soloveitchik. He used to give shiurim the entire day, Me'ashmeres HaBoker, until the end of the day on Tisha B'Av, and he did this for many, many years in Boston. He was the very first Tisha B'Av program in America. There was no such thing as a Tisha B'Av program in America before Rav Soloveitchik. He's the one who invented this idea. He would sit and he would give a shiurim and darshan the kinos from the early morning until late at night, the entire day. And then people started recording it. And then after he was nifter, J.J. Schachter, he took all of the recordings and he put it into a book. He organized and put it into a book. He later took a chunk of what it says in this book and he put it into the kinois that was published by Korean publishers. They had a Sihirsch Weinrep. He did a translation of the new translation of the Kinois, and they had some other mumche write up a synopsis of the style of the Kinois. A different person did that, and then they had, I don't know who, they had other group of people who took all of the recordings and basically took the bulk of what it says in this book and in other lectures, and they put it into the commentary on the Kinois. So there are three major sections in this publication, the Kinois published by Korean publishers. But there in the book, not everything in the book you should know appears in the Kinois. I made that mistake. I thought it was mamish cut and paste. It's not. The book is phenomenal. The book is incredible. The book has a lot of stuff that's not in, they did not put into the Korean Kinois. And one of the things there, it's very interesting, is where he doesn't hold of learning of Kinois by day, of learning Echad by day. Of Saladeishik says, it's not the Minog Yisrael. It's not the Minog Yisrael to learn Echad by day. There are new, he writes that there are new people, and all of a sudden he sees there are new communities, they're learning, and he sees they advertise this, and you look in the Defamish Jewish Journal, look on the advertisements, we're going to learn Echa from a klaf after davening. He didn't go for this. Rav Soloveitchik says this is mamish came out wrong, he held. It's wrong. It's mamish shaloi kahalach, shaloi kaminig Yisrael, and there's a reason why it's shaloi kaminig Yisrael. It's because the Eicha by day is the Haftorah. You lane from Yirmiyah. It's a very long Haftorah. You lane. That Haftorah is the Eicha. At night, you lane Eicha, and by day, you lane the Haftorah. And with what we're saying now, it fits perfectly, because Eicha, the reading of the Eicha, was really the very first Haftorah. The laning of Eicha was the very first time you lay in the Haftarah. Baruch ben Eriya recorded the words of Yirmiyah, and he read it to the Tzibor. By day, we go to the next step. We do it after Kriyasa. And he writes that really, you're not allowed to lane. You're not even allowed to lane to Tisha B'Av day. It's Talmud Torah is Osir. So why are we allowed to lane? Because it's not Derech Cheretz to lane from the Navi unless you first lane from the Torah. So you're only laning as a hechsher,
a prerequisite
to get to the Navi. And at Kedei Kach, the Gemara, and recites a source, I never heard of this source, maybe it's a Gemara, I never heard of this source, is that according to one Shita, you're only supposed to have one Aliyah, Tisha B'Av day. We don't do this, we have three Aliyahs. But Me'ikar did, according to one opinion, the whole year round, you have to lane three Aliyahs. Who didn't hear of having three Aliyahs? Not Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, there's a Shita, you only have one Aliyah. Because you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to learn Divrei Torah. So Kriyas HaTorah is the ultimate Talmud Torah Derabin. So what are you doing? So why are you doing it? You have no choice. If Chazal would allow, there would be no Kriyas HaTorah. The only thing we would do would be to read the Haftarah. You can't just read the Haftarah. So you have to have Kriyas HaTorah before the Haftarah. So don't do more than one Aliyah. Halacha l'maaseh, we don't do that. We lane three aliyahs. But the point he makes over here is, Rav Soloveitchik makes a very, very powerful point. The kriya by day is the haftorah. It's not an afterthought. Unfortunately, people who are running to lane the Megillas Eicha by day on klaf, when you ask them, well, didn't you lane the haftorah? Torah, you know, it's a tiny sibur, so you still have the Haftorah is all part of the Nusach HaTfilah. It's not even Shaykh to Tisha B'Av. Any tinyus we would lane the Haftorah. Now, we don't do that on the tinyus, we only have to in the afternoon. But still, so Tisha B'Av is a special tinyus, so we lane the Haftorah. You're totally, totally missing the point. The Haftorah is the Ikar. The Haftorah is the Eicha of the day. The Haftorah is, in fact, he says, this is Lomdus, is what's Mati, one of the unique themes about Tisha B'Av in the eyes of Soloveitchik, is totally unique to him, and everyone quotes him, is on Tisha B'Av, Hashem permits you to challenge him. The whole year round, you're not allowed to challenge Hashem. You can't complain, you can't say, Hashem, Eicha, how could you do this to us? You can't talk with chutzpah to Hashem the whole year round. I'm a chutzif. Throw you out of yeshiva, throw you out of the shul. On Tisha B'Av, you're allowed, Rav Soloveitchik, to challenge Hashem. How? Eicha. Eicha means simply Eicha. How in the world could you do this, Hashem? How dare you? That's what the word Eicha means. Eicha Yosha Badad, Ha'ir Abosion. How could you do this, Hashem? You allowed to talk like that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yirmiyah, the Navi, got the permission or got the message from the Ribbono Shel Olam that Tisha B'Av is the day when you can say, when you can challenge Hashem. Now that you have the permission to say Eicha, then immediately following saying Eicha, you right away go into Kinnis. There's no Kaddish. Right from Eicha, you go right into Kinnis. Because Eicha, in his language, is the matir. What is Kinnis all about? Kinnis, in Rav Soloveitchik's understanding, the entire Kinnis is questioning Hashem. It's a complaint. You're complaining to Hashem. How could you do this to us? It's a different style. What gives you the right to do this? The lead-in is Eicha. Eicha is what opens up permission for you to do this. Now, Shabbos is Tisha B'Av morning. You again need a matir to say kinnis. What's the matir to question Hashem to say the kinnis? Not Eicha. We use a different form, a different approach. And that approach is the Navi, the Haftorah. The Haftorah is the equivalent to Eicha. If not the equivalent, maybe it's even more powerful than Eicha. Why is it more powerful than Eicha? Very simple. I'll show you that the Haftorah is more powerful than Eicha. Because you make on the Haftorah 5 brachas. And you don't make a bracha on Eicha. And even if you do make a bracha on Eicha, it's a bracha on the Megillah. It's not a bracha focusing, on the themes that focus, that relate very much to Tisha B'Av when you recite the brachas of the Haftorah. So to a large degree, Rav Soloveitchik's thought, if you read between the lines, what he's saying over here is that Kemat, the most central aspect, element of Tisha B'Av mourning is the Haftorah. And that's even more powerful than reading Eicha at night, and it's certainly more powerful than the Kinos, and it's even more powerful than the reading of the Torah, where you lay in V'nei Shantem Bo'aretz in Parashas Ki Yitzkan. Yeah?
We make a parallel for
Tisha
B'Av. Yeah. How about this? I need to use the Torah and speak, give you as a prerequisite to the line of the Torah. If Eicha by night is parallel to the Torah,
yes.
Why don't you also need a prerequisite that night?
You don't lay at night. It's a good question, but you don't lay at night. You don't lay at night. And maybe,
so you don't need a prerequisite.
No, not at night. Not at night. And maybe this. Right, right. It's a good question. You don't need, like laying the Megillah. So laying the Megillah at night also is the same idea. You don't lay at night. I mean, it's a good question. Let's leave the question stand. Let the question stand. It's a good question. But this is a whole new way of looking at Tisha B'Av. The Haftorah is the words of Yirmiyah. It's the words that describe the Churban, one of the most powerful sections of Sefer Yirmiyah, and that opens up the Pesach for us to mourn and complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's more powerful because it has 5 brachas. Now let's take a step back. Let's just talk in general. We're going to come back to this. I want to bring a very important point in one moment. But let's talk in general. You asked the question, why in general do we lay the Haftorah on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says, the Gemara, once upon a time, it was a gezeirah on Klal Yisrael. They were not allowed to learn from the Torah. So they, instead of learning from the Torah, they learned from the Nevi'im. They took a theme that related to the Parsha, and they laid in order that it should not be forgotten the concept of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. Then when the gezeirah was removed, was lightened, so they went back to learning the Torah. Once already we're letting the Torah, we're already letting the Haftorah, let's not stop this beautiful minig, let's continue to lay the Haftorah. That is why the Haftorah has to have 21 psukim. Why 21 psukim? Because they replace the Kriyas HaTorah. There are 7 aliyos, 7 times 3, each aliyah must have a minimum of 3 psukim, so 7 times 3 is 21. That's why every Haftorah has a minimum of 21 psukim. There are a few exceptions. If it's a complete inyan, then it can have less than 21, but generally it has to have 21 psukim. And that is also why there are 7 berachos. The one that gets mafter, how many blessings does he recite? 7. He recites, he gets the Aliyah on the Torah first, because it's not their cheres to lane from the Navi unless you cover that Torah, unless you first lane from the Torah. You have to know what your priorities are. So he makes the Baruch Asher Bochar Banu, and then he makes the Baruch Asher Nasan Lanu, And then they tell God, they say Kaddish to be Mafsik, to be Mafsik between the Torah and the Haftorah. And then he makes the bracha, Asha Bochar bin Vim Toivim, Vratzah bin Ibrahim. And then after the Haftorah is over, he lays four brachas. Sur Kol Olamim, Rachem Al Tzion, Samchenu, and Al HaTorah. So that's four, one, one, and one, a grand total of seven blessings. Why seven blessings? To correspond to the seven aliyos, which the Haftorah of the Maftir was coming to replace. Okay, now here is the little clincher. I saw this not that long ago, and it was an incredible chiddush, and it opens up a whole new world. It fits very well into our salvation, and it totally changes everything. This yisoid. Tell me if you ever heard of this yisoid. Me'igar hadin, a person, lo yaleinu, achmona litzlan, who is mitoich yud beis chodesh for a parent. Me'igar hadin, it's brought down in the Paiskin, he is the ideal person who should receive maftir. On the yard side, Bobaida, our custom among us is the person gets maftir if he can, if it's available, and he's paid enough money, the Shabbos before the yard site. If the yard site is chal on Shabbos itself, you don't get maftir. You're supposed to get an aliyah. You get a regular aliyah, any aliyah. If the yard site is chal on Shabbos, so you get maftir the Shabbos before. If you can, you don't have to, if you can. If you have yard site during the week, so it's customary, if you can, if you want, not everyone does it, but it's a nice thing to get the maftir before the yard site. The truth is, Me'ikar Hadin is a person who has kedima. A person who is mitoch yud beis chodesh should get maftir every single Shabbos. Brought down. Not only Lubavitch, everyone. Everyone should lose. I know there was a person who used to run around from Shultish or Mishagas. He is mitoch yud beis chodesh. He wanted maftir every single Shabbos. To the kind of what it says in the Poskim, you should get maftir every single Shabbos. Mitoch yud beis chodesh. He would run around from shul to shul to get maftir every single Shabbos. Okay? This is not common. It's just not practical. It's not practical to give the same guy in shul the maftir every single Shabbos to rotate. You want to give the maftir to chashuvim, people making simchas, people have yard sites that week. It just is not. But that is the idea. Why? Answer the question. Why should we give the maftir to the person who is mitoch yud beis chodesh every single Shabbos? And the answer is. So what is the common answer? People ask this question all the time. It's because he makes seven brachas. That's a lot of brachas. That's quite a number. Seven brachas. So he's an ovel. Every time he makes a bracha, this is a zuchus for the neshama. I leave for the neshama. The neshama needs all of the zuchus that he can get. So therefore, the child should make these seven brachas every single Shabbos in order to elevate the neshama. Right? That's the common answer. I've heard this answer a few times. I came across recently a new answer, and this is shocking. I told the people that they really, wow, interesting. That's because the first bracha you make after the Haftorah, in essence, is a bracha of Tziduk Hadin. A funeral, you heard this answer? A funeral, when you go to a funeral, when it's during the week, when it's not Erev Shabbos, when it's not during this, you don't do this, you don't say, you recite Tziduk Hadin at the cemetery. You recite Tziduk Hadin before they bury the person, or before or after. You do it before, it depends, right? You do only it's before. Before. What is Tziduk Hadin? It's just psukim. You don't say Hashem's name, you say psukim. You say, I think 14 psukim? It's just a collection, it is a collection of psukim that express the theme of Tziduk Hadin. When you get the Haftorah, and by the way, on Tisha B'Av, there's a whole kina that's Tziduk Hadin. L'cho Hashem Atzdaka, I think it's 12 lines. There's a whole kina of Tziduk Hadin. In the cemetery, there's a whole thing you say in the Siddur Tzidik Hadin. When you lay in the Haftorah, it's exponentially more powerful because you're making a bracha of Tzidik Hadin. What's the bracha? Tzur kol ha'olamim, tzadik b'chol hadaros, hakel haneman. You express the tzadik. Now, don't confuse this with the bracha of Dayan Ha'emes. Dayan Ha'emes is not a bracha on Tzidik Hadin. Dayan Ha'emes means acceptance. Hashem is Emes. Am I expressing the fact that Hashem, you're a tzaddik? I don't understand how all that works. Hashem is a tzaddik. I guess I have a munah. Hashem is a tzaddik. Tzaddik. We say in davening, in Ashrei, tzaddik Hashem b'chol derecho v'chasid b'chol ma'asav. But do I have the koyach to say that Hashem is a tzaddik with the shame of malchus? Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam. Never. You don't do that. A person makes a bracha, baruch atah Hashem, in his tzar, in his state of pain, a person that most can make the bracha, Hashem you the dayan ha'emes. But to say to make a bracha that Hashem is a tzaddik, Chazal didn't go that far. He didn't go that far, b'shas, when a person experiences pain. It's a very powerful idea. When a person is in a state of pain, is when he makes the bracha dayan ha'emes. The time ha'emes expires. Has to be made b'shas the pain. At the time of the pain, Chazal said, you can make a bracha that Hashem is emes, but you don't make a bracha that Hashem is a tzaddik. That far, Chazal did not require you to go. When the Avelus is over, and now the Shiv is over, and now you toich Yud Beis Chodesh, now Chazal want you to make a bracha of Tzidik Adin. You don't make a bracha of the cemetery Tzidik Adin, you say Psukim. You don't say Tishah B'av, but you make, when you say the Haftarah, it's incredible. The first bracha is a bracha of Tzidduk Hadin. Tzur Kol Ha'olamim, you are the rachel, that Tzur Tamim Pa'olo. Tzadik B'chol Hadaras, and the fact you should know, I saw in a sefer in Hafna B'fella, is that in ancient times, the entire Tzibu would say together. Can you imagine this bracha? Some people seen in Shul. We should do this today. It would be incredible. Go back to the old Minna. Is the guy makes Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Tzur, it's like Shev Brachas. They go to Shev Brachas, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. And what happens? Everyone sings. Ah, Shev Brachas, sing this. Everyone sings, right?
Yeah.
And the one who has to wait. You gotta wait, you gotta let the tzibur sing. They did the exact same thing every Shabbos that tzibur had in. The guy got to have to Baruch Atah Hashem, I don't know the Nusach, I don't know the Nigga now. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Tzur, Kol Olamim. Tzadik b'chol hadoyrois. Okay? Tzadik, so now stop. He would stop, and then what would happen? The entire tzibur would chime in together, in unison. Hakel, hanemon, ha'imer, v'yoseh, hamadaber, u'mikayim, shekol, divarov, emes, for tzedek. Not just dayin ha'emes. Hashem is a dayin that's emes, and tzedek. They would say, Nemon, Atohu Hashem, Lokim, Chol, Nemon, Dorech, 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 and then the one who got the Haftarah, he would then now pick up, like you do when you make the bracha, by a Sheva brachas. Isn't that amazing? That's how they used to do it. Why has this minute dissolved? Beats me, I don't know. But what comes out is this awesome Yisoid, the one who is in Adel, he is in a state of Tsar. Memela, we want him to be the one to make the bracha on Tzidik Hadin. And it's now that opens up a whole new world. Do you know what that means? When do we recite Tzidik Hadin? The words of Nevi'im. This opens up a whole new dimension in appreciating what tafkid we learn Navi every day. What's the tafkid of Nevi'im? When you learn Nevi'im, we learn this. How many times do we have the pasuk? V'yodata ki ani Hashem. V'yodata, when this event happens, then finally you wake up, you know, V'yodata ki ani Hashem. V'yodata ki ani Hashem. Tzidik Hadin, the whole essence of Tzidik, the whole Tzidik Hadin is directly connected to the words of the Nevi'im. Okay? The words of the Nevi'im are directly connected to Tzidik Adin directly. When a person just stops, he makes Tzidik Adin, he doesn't make a bracha. But when you connect yourself to the words of the Nevi'im, then there is a Tzidik Adin that comes with a bracha. Now this fits very powerfully into Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik says the focal point of Tisha B'Av mourning is the Haftarah. That's the focal point. The Haftarah. Because the Haftarah is the matter to say kinos. And what do you do when you say the Haftarah? You make a bracha. You make a bracha of Tzidik Hadin. That is the essence of what Tisha B'Av is all about. To say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nevi'im told us that if we don't shape up, this is what's going to happen. Taka tzadik Hashem b'chol derecha v'chasid b'chol ma'asav atzur kol olam tzadik b'chol hadoros. This bracha is never more powerful and more center to the theme of the day than Tisha B'Av. Okay, so this is a This is a very powerful theme. I think an idea relating to Tisha B'Av, the essence that the bracha tzedek adina relates to Tisha B'Av, and the haftarah of Tisha B'Av definitely has a unique place in the day. Okay, we'll stop over here.